this, would you?
There's a fire that burns inside, a fire that burns inside. Nothing can stop us, we'll be running through the night. With a fire that burns inside, a fire that burns inside. We are the free, the freedom generation, singing in a mercy. You are the one who set us all in motion. Yours is the glory. There's a fire in our hearts and it burns for you. It's never gonna fade away. We are the free and yours is the glory. Nothing can stop us. We'll be running through the night. And our passion will not die. No, our passion will not die. We are the free, the freedom generation, singing of mercy. You are the one who set us all in motion. Yours is the glory. There's a fire in our hearts and burns for you. It's never gonna fade away. We are the free and yours is the glory. Oh, oh, oh.
Praise you this morning. We give you all the glory for everything that you do in our lives. I pray that throughout this next week that we would find something to be so excited about, that we would just jump up and praise your name. And I pray for the service that all of our hearts would be open to what you have to say to us this morning. Amen.
Breaks the power of sin and darkness, whose love is mighty and so much stronger. The King of glory, the King above all kings. shakes the whole earth with holy thunder, who leaves us breathless in awe and wonder. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You would lay down your life. Our chaos back into order, who makes the orphan a son and daughter. The King of glory, the King above all kings, who rules the nations with truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You would lay down your life.
Oh, God's love burning in your heart. Boy, God is good. Hallelujah. Found in your hand, fullness of joy, every fear suddenly wiped away. Here in your presence, all of my gates now fade away.
The shadow of death, your perfect love is casting out fear. Even when I'm caught in the middle of the storms of this life, I won't turn back, I know you are near. I will fear no evil, for my God is with me. God is with me. I can see the light that is coming for the heart that holds on. A glorious light beyond all compare. And there will be an end to these troubles, but until that day comes, we'll live to know you here on the earth. I will fear no evil, for my God is with me. And if my God is with me, whom then shall I fear? Whom then shall I fear? For the heart that holds on, and there will be an end to these troubles, but until that day comes, still I will praise you, still I will praise you, Lord. Oh, I can see a light that is coming for the heart that holds on, and there will be an end to these troubles. But until that day comes, still I will praise you, still I will praise you, Lord. I will praise you, Lord.
Golly, we just praise you this morning. God, we're so thankful for your presence. God, for the work that you're doing in our lives, God, and just growing us to the place of maturity in our walk with you, God. Just bless our Sunday, Lord. Bless this day we get to come and worship you in spirit and truth and learn more about you. God, I pray a blessing on every family, every person, God, that's come to your house today to listen to what you have for them personally. Thank you.
so much stronger. The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder? Who leaves us breathless in awe and wonder? The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing praise. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You would lay down your life.
everybody to stand up. Come on, guys, stand up. Shake it off a little bit. And if you don't know the person next to you, even if you do know them, shake their hand, say hi. I'm saving it for me and you. You're shaking it off. How you doing? All right. Hallelujah. Now you have no excuses. You know your neighbor. Once you get him started, it's hard to get him to quit. So once you get them started, it's hard to get them to quit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Don't you guys love family? Good to have good family. That's what the church is a big, huge family. Hallelujah. I want to just stop for a minute and just calm down and grab a hold of what God's doing for us. So let's just bow our heads and let's pray. Father, thank you for your Holy Spirit that moves among us, moves in us and through us, Lord. And God, you are so good to your people. God, we're thankful for all that you've given us and all that we're learning about you, God, as we have relationship with you. And Lord, today we want to understand more about you, Jesus, and what you did for us, Lord, and how we're supposed to respond to you. And Lord, we ask, God, that you would open up our hearts and our minds to hear what you have for us, Lord. And God, that your word would come alive to us. We love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So last week we talked about saved, sanctified, and sent. And man, what an awesome service that was. And so you guys all found yourself in one of those. Pretty neat how God works in us individually differently, but yet the same in some way. And so we're gravitating toward relationship with him and where we are called to, what we are called to. And in Matthew, we start out, we're going through Matthew, the book of Matthew. And in Matthew, we see the life of Jesus, his beginning. And we found out that how he came to earth and some things we didn't know about how Christmas is portrayed, Jesus and in the manger and the wise guys and how many that was and how old he really was when they found him, because Jesus wasn't a baby when they found him. He was actually about 2 years old. He was a toddler, and he wasn't in the manger when they found him. He was at a house. So there's some things that we see in the picture of Christmas that really isn't true. But the fact is that we need to understand and remember that Jesus is why we do what we do. And Constantine brought in some things, a bunch of paganism into the Christian world. And so we need to know as believers the balance, where that came from and where we are in it. And so we want to make sure that we know truth, and the truth is what sets us free, right? We don't have to be bound by things. We can understand what God wants of us. And my passion is that you would hear God for yourself. And hopefully that's your passion as well. That you would hear him for yourself individually, that you would put this word to practice, and wherever the Holy Spirit is tugging you and drawing you to, that's what you need to do. If he's saying no, then by all means, stop it. Right? In fact, that's my counsel to everyone. Just stop it. Did you guys see that with, what was his name? Yeah, that's so stinking funny, but true. Anyways, past that. Saved, sanctified, and sent, which we talked about last week. Today we're going to look at led by the Spirit, tempted by Satan. Hallelujah. We're going to kick it off in chapter 4 of Matthew. And we're going to start reading and we'll work our way through it. Is everybody good? You got your Bibles open? Here we go. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Who is the tempter? Does God tempt us? Does God test us? Yes, we've learned that. He is not the tempter, but he does test us. Okay? So he was led up into the wilderness by the Spirit. Now remember, Jesus had just been baptized at this point, right? And the Holy Spirit had come upon him like a dove, the word says. And then right after that, the temptation happened. Isn't that interesting? How many of you, when you first got saved, the Holy Spirit was with you, you knew it, it was, you were excited about it, and then right after that, you dove back into the world and the temptation tried to fall upon you, right? And to take you back over. Right, that is a standard practice of the enemy. He wants to tell you nothing happened, you're the same person, and God's not real. That's the lie. And it is a big one. And a lot of people buy into it. And the reality is, when you ask Christ into your heart, you may not feel different. Some, maybe you do, but the reality is, it is done. That's what Jesus did on the cross. And what he said is true, and you need to grab a hold of it. Even if you don't feel like you're saved, if you did that in an earnest way and asked Christ into your heart, and there were, I believe, three last week that did that. And so if you're here today, I want to encourage you. Man, don't let the enemy rob you of that, because he certainly will try. And that's his job, to get us away from God, to pull us away from God, to separate us from the love of God. But the Bible says very clearly that no one can do that. They can't. And so Jesus was taken up into the wilderness and tempted by the devil. Verse 2. And after he had fasted for 40... This is an interesting verse. I don't know about you guys, but every time I read this, I go, like, really? I mean, I'd be starving. It says, and after he was fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, then he became hungry. I don't know about you, but after the first couple hours, I become hungry. Jesus is tougher than I am. So now, how many of you have fasted? Okay? How many of you really had a hard time fasting because your body is saying, I want to eat. Just everything looks delicious. Right? I mean, this is one of the things that is shared in the Scripture to show us that this can be done by the power of the Spirit and you fasting. It's not just starving yourself, but it is praying through as you fast. Because I don't know about you, but if you stick with it, your spirit starts opening up to the things of the Lord. So fasting is a good thing. And the Bible says not if you fast. The Bible says when you fast. Right? So we are all called to do such things. And why does the Lord want us to do that? Because he wants to get us used to saying no to the flesh. Say no to that thing, that the worldly pleasures, the worldly thing of life, the feeding the fleshly part of your nature. You need to learn to discipline yourself. Disciple means disciplined one, right? You discipline yourself, and that means if you go to fast, and I got to tell you, I like to eat. I don't know about you guys, but food's good, right? I quit everything else. So food is pretty good. And so I like to eat, but I have to be careful. I have to be careful not to get in such a habit of doing that I don't miss out on making my flesh yield to the will, my spiritual will, to say no to it, say no to the thing. And so that's what Jesus did. So he's fasted for 40 days and 40 nights and then became hungry. And so in the midst of his hunger, here comes the enemy. In the midst of your walking with the Lord, here he comes to try to pull you off that direction that God's calling you to. And the tempter came and said to him, if, isn't that amazing? He doubts, he throws doubt into it. So he's using the word if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. I mean, to me, I don't know why Jesus didn't slap the tar out of him, you know, and just say, enough, right? But he did this, and he could have, right? But he didn't. He walked through this for a picture for you and me, right? For us to understand that we have the ability to say no to the enemy and come back to him with the correct answer. When he tempts you with something, go ahead and talk back to him. Say, not a chance. Here's what the Lord says. And so here's what Jesus did. He says, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Listen, if we don't stand on the words that God spoke, And how do we know that God spoke it? It is written. This is breathed and inspired by the Spirit of God, every word in it. And first of all, you have to acknowledge that. Right? If you take this thing in parts and pieces and, oh, I believe that, but I don't believe that, you've already missed it. Right? You have to capture this as a whole, because it's written for you and me. It's our manual for life. And so we need to read it, we need to understand it, we need to study it, because this is our manual. And if we live by it, we will do well. So the words that was spoken, he said, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Then the devil, now that's number one. That was the number one. It's broke down into three different areas. Here's the three areas. And if you got pen, if you're taking notes, capture this. Number one was what did God say? What did he really say to you? And listen, what he speaks into the light and into you, in the darkness, the enemy's going to try to pull that out of you. He's going to try to pull that light out of you. And so if you heed to him in the darkness in your alone time, allow the enemy to speak to you, you need to stop it. All right? Just say no. I'm not going to listen to you. And you can do that. And so number one is, what did God say? What did God really say? And you can back that up by Scripture. If you don't get it here, you don't get confirmation through the Word, then you need to be careful what you're listening to. All right? And the second thing is, don't be testing God. Don't test God. All right? And we're going to go through that. But if we try putting ourselves in the place of God, we're going to get totally taken away. Right? So who is God? We are not. Just make it very clear to yourself. He is God. We are not. And so what did God say? Pay attention to what he said, and don't be testing God. Well, you know, maybe I can do this or I can do that, and God will still be okay with it. Don't be doing that, because that gets you into the ebb and flow relationship. Right? You're good, then you're not so good. How many of you know how that path looks? Right? I'm good, then I take a nosedive, and I walk down there for a while, and then I come back up. Listen, you need to make a commitment to yourself and the Lord that I am not going to put you to the test. I'm not going to play games with you, because I know you love me. I know you've got a standard for me, and therefore I shall walk it out. Just make that commitment and be strong to it. Now that's tough. Now that's easily said, very difficult to do. But it can be done. And how is it done? It's by you recognize you need help from the Holy Spirit. You need God in everything you do. Everything you do, you better go to God with. Because if he says it's okay, you're in. If he's saying wait, you better wait. If he says no, then that means no. Right? And here's the thing about the flesh. The flesh can justify anything. You guys figured that out yet? Flesh can say, man, I'm good. God loves me. He's a good God. And he is. And it's not about your relationship with him in that sense, is that he's trying to get you to walk this out for you. Right? It's for your health, for your benefit, so that you won't have to back up and regroup and fight all these battles your whole life about things you get caught up in. And listen, we do that as a people. We get caught up in things we don't need to be in, and when we're there, the hook gets a hold of us, and then it's got us. It's called a stronghold. That's what the Bible calls it. The stronghold. And if you have that, it doesn't easily just go away and you're all good again. In fact, if you have a relationship with God, you get caught up in the world and you back away from God and you play around in the world, right? And then you really feel lost, and then you come back to God. You know what the Word says? It's harder to come back. You're better off to stay put when the first time. And I got to tell you, I've been down that path. So I know what that's like. And so those strongholds, take it from the Word. You're way better off not to go there, right? And if you are there, right, the best thing you can do is just start walking and doing the right thing. Because you know what the right thing is, don't you? All of us do. We just want to be pleased a little bit, right? So, verse 5. Then the devil took him into the holy city and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, you are the Son of God again. Throw yourself down, for it is written, He will command His angels concerning you. Do you think you can go ahead and do whatever you want and everything's going to be okay? It don't work that way. Right? You can't go into that place of the world, right, and get up there and do whatever you want in the world and expect everything to be okay. It's not going to be. In fact, it's the opposite happens. Separation from God is a dangerous place to be, because you're being in tune with the Spirit is a wonderful thing. And if you're not in tune with the Holy Spirit and you're feeling like your prayers are bouncing off the ceiling, the best thing you can do as an individual is back up and take a look at yourself and ask yourself this question. What was the last thing God spoke to me? What was the last thing I know I heard God say? And then evaluate that and ask yourself, have I been doing that? And if you haven't been doing that, don't go, oh, it's impossible, I'll never be able to do it. No, it's very possible. Then you repent. You repent. Take time out. Say, okay, God, I see it. I know what you've told me. I haven't been doing it. And then comes the restoration process of repentance and saying, God, forgive me of that. And that's not, oh, I'm caught kind of an attitude. The attitude is seriously going before the Lord and repenting and saying, you're right. I've forsaken you. I've walked away from you, and I've fallen into sin, and I've gravitated away from that, and so my life is a wreck because of it. And so I ask for forgiveness of that walk, Lord, and I want you to come back in so that I can hear you clearly. And He will. He promises so. Right? And so if you're sincere, right, if He knows you're playing games with Him, right, or testing Him in some way, you're not going to hear Him still. So you have to be sincere. So the devil took Him up on the pinnacle, and he said to Him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, He will command His angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus said to him, on the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. And that is some serious stuff. Don't be testing God. Sure, He probably could have done that, and God probably would have, you know, protected him, because the Bible said so. But as a mature believer, why would you do such a thing? Don't be testing God. Don't be going out there in the world and playing around and expect everything to be peaches and cream. There's consequences for that behavior. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain, and this was number two. Where did I leave off on? 8. And again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, go, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Who are you supposed to worship? And who are you supposed to serve? Number one, what does that look like? What does worshiping God look like in your life? Good evaluation. Where do you spend time in worship before your God and your King? We did that this morning. We worship Him in song. But that's just part of it. I mean, that's a small part of worship, right? Worshiping God has a myriad of activity behind it. Right? Honoring Him in the Sabbath, keeping His day holy, and worshiping Him in the day that you put Him first in everything that day. You spend time with Him. You read your word. You fast for a day and say, God, this is the day that's yours. Does anybody do that? Take one day of the week and do that. Listen, your relationship with God will grow deeply in just one day a week. And you know that that's a commandment. That's one of the Ten Commandments, to do that. But guess what? A lot of us get so active in our worldly activities that we forget to take that personal relationship and just give Him one day. One day is yours, God, where I take this day and spend it with you. And so in that activity, that's one that you should evaluate. Do you do that? And if you don't, it's healthy, because the Bible says to do it.
Not only that, it's very good for you. And so, now, see, Sunday can't be that day for me, right? I mean, this is kind of a work day for me. You know, maybe that could be your Sabbath, but for me, I can't. I'm busy doing the things that God's called me to do. To me, that's not a Sabbath day. Right? A Sabbath day is when you set aside all the busyness, right, and you get alone with God and you spend some time there, right, and develop that relationship, go deeper with Him. So, where I leave off. Worship and serve God. So now, worship Him. So how many of you guys have a hard time worshiping God? I mean, some people say, well, I worship God my own little way, right? I can sit down and worship Him in my quiet spirit. Yes, you can. Amen to that. But here's what the enemy says. If you stand before the Lord and worship Him, right, and worship Him in spirit and truth, nothing else matters but to worship God. Who cares what somebody else thinks about you when you're just raising your hands to the Lord? I remember when I first got convicted about that, I was worshiping the Lord, and I didn't do that. I just kind of was in my little worshiping God, singing and praising Him in my own little way, right? And God honors that. It's not that. But whenever the Holy Spirit said to me, Dave, I want you to raise your hands to me. I am your King. I went, okay. And I started like this because my arms felt like they were about 1 billion pounds. What will people think about me? Nobody cares. I thought that, you know, it was kind of odd to do that. And listen, I don't mean that you should stand up here and wave your flag and worship to the God and you know, and get all bringing attention to yourself. Because that's not what that's about. But in your heart, to be able to worship God freely, the first thing I found out that this is freedom to me. It just is. Because what happens in that relationship with me is it's now just me and God, and I don't care what people think. I'm going to worship Him anywhere I want to. And I'm not going to let what people think stop that. And I don't know if you guys are struggling. There's some of you I know are. Because that's kind of what happens. If you really want to worship the Lord, but you're intimidated by it, or you may look weird or something, all I can say is press through that and just give it a shot. If you know what? You press through that and you just worship Him, forget about what your brain is going to, just stop that thinking, that stinking thinking, and just grab a hold of God's Spirit in your life, there's a connection that happens, and something changes in your spiritual life. It's God says, come to me. Right? That means you first. Kind of what He's saying. Right? Come to me. Right? And I will. The next thing was, I'll give you rest. I don't know about you, but when I worship the Lord, there's a spiritual something that happens inside of me that just gives me rest. Right? So if you want rest, come to Him. Right? And the other thing is, He says, seek me and you will find me. Knock and the door will be open. Ask and it will be given. That's you first. Did anybody catch that? He's already done everything. Everything He can do, He's already done. What more do you want Him to do? What's the next thing you would like Christ to do for you? Anybody got any thoughts? I don't know. There is nothing I can think of that God could do for me more than what He's already done. And so now it's up to me and you to say amen and yes to that. You've done it. I'm going to say yes to that and gravitate toward Him. And anything He says for me to do, I'm going to do. So if it was simply just to ask me to raise my hand and worship, what kind of a problem is that for me? Why am I so intimidated by that? I don't know. I think it's the enemy just messing with our heads. Because we should be the most worshipful people on planet Earth. We have a relationship with our God, our King. And so then it says, he said, worship the Lord your God and serve Him only. Because He's kind of jealous that way. He don't want you serving the world and all of that it's got going on. He wants you to come to Him first, serve Him only, and get your direction from Him. And then if He says, I want you to do this or that, then by all means go and do that. But you got to get your direction from God. You have to get your direction from the Lord. Simply. You know, and somebody will say, well, that's hard because he doesn't speak. Oh, yes, he does. He's speaking all the time. You know what the problem is? It's not that he's not speaking. The problem is you're not listening. You're not paying attention because he's talking all the time. And he's sharing good news, good and wonderful news to us. Hey, you guys need to understand, this is the short life. This is not our home. We're just passing through. What's going to happen when Jesus returns and you're going to go, what are you going to do? Wait, God, I'm not done building my house. Wait, I haven't finished my project yet. See, I don't care. It's not about the project. It's number one's relationship. Projects comes out of that. Right? Number one's him. If he says do it, then do it. We have lots of projects going on. Here's the thing. I took off and spent some time with the Lord. And the thing that I came back with was this. Take care of what I've given you. Simple, simple, simple. Take care of what I've given you. Well, what did he give me? First, I started evaluating that, right? And I was looking for direction for the church, for the building, for our spiritual life as a whole, as a community. And he said, take care of what I've given you. Well, that's a big thing, right? It might sound simple, but when I started getting my mind wrapped around to taking care of what he's given me, us, you and me, as the believers, what has he given us? Oh, man, he's given us so much. And guess what? When I evaluated that, I found out that I wasn't doing a very good job of taking care of what he's given me. You know, number one is he's given me my family, right? And I wasn't doing real good at that. How many of you guys, men, find yourself there? Right? Because that's number one. If you can't take and lead your family spiritually, if you can't do the right things for them, then you're not taking care of what God's given you because he's given you your family. Did you know that? Families are blessing. And it's up to us men to be the priests of our home and to lead our families spiritually, direct them in the way that they should go unto the Lord. Why? Because it was the way God said it. I mean, it's not that guys are over women, because that's not it. If you're trying to lead your family with the thumb on them and shove them around, they're not going to follow you very good. Right? But if you're leading them spiritually, and you're praying and you hear from the voice of the Lord and you say, God wants us as a family to do this, you're going to have some pretty good followers. Why? Because they know you. And listen, ladies know the difference. I found that out. They know if you're really hearing God or if you're just playing around with that. I found that out the hard way. Well, God said, did he really? That's kind of what he did to Eve, right? Right? And so we need to understand that. Now, if Adam had been a good leader, well, we probably wouldn't have problems we got now. But Adam didn't lead his family. And he followed his wife. How many of you guys find yourself following your wife? Now, that's not a bad thing if she's doing things under the Lord. But if she's not, you probably should reevaluate and try to turn that back to gravitate what the Lord's saying. And it is our job as the priests of the homes to do that. And listen, the world is not okay with that. I've had many conversations with ladies that are in the world, and they go, he's not leading me, and I don't want him to. And I can tell you why. Because I want my own checking account. I don't know, you can get into some deep stuff there, right? Is it okay to have separate accounts? Yeah, probably. As long as you both are working together in it. But if you have your life and he has his, that's not a family. And so, in that leadership, that direction that God's called you to, then work together as a team. And you know, he's given so many scriptures to validate that. It's team. It's all about team. Right? The body is a unit, though we're made up of different parts. And the eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. Right? What would you do if you go, I don't need you anymore. I can do fine without you. What if, you know, your brain said to your legs, I'm good. Well, you wouldn't get much walking done. So everything has to work together and fit. And so God made it very clear in his word how to make that work. And Jesus was very intent about the adversary, right, and how he comes against us in different ways. And Jesus, when he was in the wilderness and he went through these temptations, he went through them so that we could see the reality of what we're fighting and how to do it, how to fight it, and how to live it. And so that's what this whole passage is about. If anybody's ever read it, they need to know that this wasn't just a story about Jesus and Satan. This was a story in relationship with you and how to fight the adversary. And so we find out that the enemy came and tempted him in this third area, and he took him up there, and his last words was worship God and serve him only. And how are you doing with that? I mean, that's a big mandate, to serve God and worship him only. In your service to God, what are you doing with that? How are you serving the Lord? You ever ask yourself that question? Am I serving the Lord? Listen, a lot of you guys do pretty good in that area and may not even know it. Coming to the Harvest Festival and working and helping and teaching these kids and being around them, directing their path and the right way to go, serving the Lord. Being teachers upstairs with all them kids, and there was a bunch of them. Man, let me tell you what, those teachers got it going on, because that's a tough job, right? And they do it unto the Lord. That's service to the Lord. In the nursery, that's service to the Lord. Alan is back there doing this. The worship team. You guys coming regularly to the house of the Lord to listen to the word is service unto the Lord. Did you know that? Because you're learning and sitting at the feet of Jesus. And as you learn that and obey and challenge yourself to walk out the message of the day, and I challenge you guys all the time, don't I? I'm constantly bringing you to a place of evaluation. Why? Because that was my mandate as a pastor. I don't really like to do it so much. Right? It is very rewarding in some cases when I see people doing great things. But it's a challenge for me, right? To come back and keep that in the forefront of your thinking and keeping you evaluating your relationship with God, so, and challenging you to do so, and watching the growth happen. I mean, it would be easier for me just to take care of me. But God has put me into position to service unto him and ask me to do this. So I'm doing it unto him. That's service unto the Lord. And we serve him only. Keep that in the front of your thinking too. As who are you serving? Who are you serving? Where is your service to? So then the devil left him. Verse 11. The devil left him, and behold, angels came and began to minister to him. Now, I want you to back up. This ought to wake you up a little bit. Luke 4:13. Because in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they talk about the story of Jesus. But Luke gives a different little twist at the end of this, and I want you to capture this. So Luke 4:13 is telling the same story. Luke's telling the same story that Matthew's telling, but he's telling it in the way that the Holy Spirit gave him to write it down. And here's what it says in 13. He says, and when the devil had finished every temptation, he left him until an opportune time. You guys catch that? You got to catch this. Because when you're being tempted by the devil, even if you win, he ain't just going to stop. He's not going to just quit because you won. You beat it. Right? Yeah, you got through it that day. But just give a little slack in your relationship and your spiritual walk and watch what happens. The enemy, he'll touch you in a soft spot, whether it be in your family, whether it be any kind of retaliation in any way at all. He'll grab a hold of your emotions and your will, and he'll start to pull you away and say, look, I didn't sign up for this. And every one of you will go through that. You're going to get to a place in your life when you're standing in a place of decision. When you've passed the test and the enemy comes back in an opportune time, and when he said opportune time, it's when you are down. When you aren't ready to fight. When you're not battling anymore. In fact, you're so stinking wore out from life itself that the enemy will come in and he'll just bang you. Then that's where the rubber meets the road. That's when you're going to go, whoop, you know what, I'm not biting this bait. And you stand firm. And you do it how? In your relationship with God. You go right back to God and say, God, please help me. I'm weak. And I'm about to fall. The quicker you get honest with yourself about where you are in your walk with God and where you are spiritually, the quicker you're going to find help. If you think you got it all together, guess what? About the time you think you got it together is when the enemy's going to hit you the hardest. That's when you need to know that you can't stand on your own. You have to have relationship with God, relationship with others. You got to let somebody speak into your life, and they may tell you hard things. Has anybody had somebody tell you hard things? Hey, I don't like it. But I know when they do it, it's true. And so either I'm going to retaliate and justify what I've done, or I'm going to humble myself and I'm going to go, okay, I got some things to work on. Thanks for that. And listen, the majority of people today do not listen to good counsel, especially if it's hard counsel. And God's saying, stop it. And he wants you to understand where you are in your test. He wants you to understand where you are in your test. And you're going to pass or fail. And if you fail, you're going to go around the mountain for a season. And you're going to fight the battle. And you're going to come around to the place of decision once again. You're going to come around to the place of decision once again. And I believe some of you are in that place right now. Some of you are in the valley of decision. Right? What am I going to do with the situation at hand? Am I going to walk away from God? Or am I going to draw near to Him? And what does the Bible say? Draw near to me, and what does He promise? I will draw near to you. So, in the spiritual realm, I'm not saying He's going to fix everything, because He's already really fixed it. It's just how we see it. It's how we evaluate it. And so, if you're in that valley of decision, here's the thing you need to do. You got to draw near to the Lord. And find your comfort in Him and Him alone. Because we serve Him only. And what if it all falls apart tomorrow? Who are you going to blame? Is it going to be God's fault? Hey, circumstances are just circumstances. It's what you do with them that matters. Are you going to allow things to overtake you? Or are you going to come into that place, when you're in that valley of decision, are you going to come to that place of humbling yourself and getting into that relationship with God and asking Him to help you, to deliver you, to speak to you, and to walk with you through whatever it is you're in? And some of you guys are in some difficult situations. And you got some difficult situations to get through yet. And you got some difficult decisions to make. And I've been speaking to some of you about those decisions. So I'm on this side and I know about it. Right? You guys as a whole only are kind of knowing what your situation is. Listen, you're not alone. You're not by yourself. There's a whole bunch of people out there in the same boat that you are. And the only way you're going to get comforted in the sense of knowing that you're not the only one in that boat, and why is it always me? It's not. You just think it is. And so the decisions that you make, in fact, I've been talking to a young couple that are doing awesome and making great decisions. Now, they don't have to make those decisions, but they know that the Lord has called them to make these decisions. And I'm so proud of them. Is it going to be easy? No. Is it going to be right? Absolutely. And you and I know what the right thing is to do. We do. We just know, because God's speaking to our spirit. And you can justify it, but you know deep down that's a wrong decision. And so in your relationship with God, and you're in the valley of decision, what do? You draw near to the Lord, and you help Him, ask Him for the strength to get through the situation you're in. Amen? And so here's the three things. What did God say? Find out what he said. What did he say about this matter? And the word's full of the answers. What did he say about the matter? Don't be retaliating. Don't be putting God to the test. Just stop your thinking right there. The next thing is worship and serve him only. You know what? The hardest thing to do is worship God when you don't feel like it. Anybody been there? I don't feel like worshiping God right now. I'm kind of bummed. You know what the best thing you could do? Break through how you feel and worship him anyway. And I guarantee you, if you do that, changes everything. Your heart and attitude gets a makeover. And you start humbling, you get a soft heart, you start looking at the tough situations a little bit differently. You evaluate those, and when you come to the talking time and the decision time and the talking through that, you're going to do it with a humble heart and not the attitude. How many of you guys got kids with an attitude? Guess what we look like to God? Come on. Hey, sometimes we look like that kid with an attitude to the Lord, don't we? That's why he gives us children. You ever figure that out? So that we'd see what we look like him. Yeah. All I know is this, is if you're in the valley of decision right now, and this is how we're going to close it. In fact, prayer team, if you come up. If you're in a situation that seems impossible or a situation that seems very difficult to you, then today is a great day for you to say, I'm going to draw near to God. You know, and he may not change the situation, but I know this, if your heart's right, he'll change the situation in you. And you'll be able to see it and evaluate it by the Spirit of the Lord. Will make all the difference in the world. Hallelujah. If you're in that valley, if you're in that place of decision and you're having a struggle, whether it be a family member praying for someone, you just said, I'm done with that. Don't quit. Don't you quit on that person at all. And you just might be catching the brunt of everything. Don't quit. Stay in it. Evaluate where you're at. Find Jesus in the midst of it. And move on. In right relationship with him. Father, speak to us. Lots of stuff going on in life, Lord. Lots of decisions to be made. Lord, help us to evaluate. Help us to bring things to you. Draw near to you, God. And I know you always come through. So I pray for those that are in that place of wondering, trying to decide, maybe schooling, maybe work, maybe life, struggle. Hallelujah. Today is a great day to come to you. Give us wisdom, I pray, Lord. I ask you to open the hearts of the people right now, God. Come and pray about it. Serve you. Come to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Speak to our hearts. Tells us to seek first the kingdom of God and righteousness, and all these other things will be added. Lord, today is our time just to come to that place of seeking you first about everything else. Come to you first. but believers that plant our feet, stand firm, follow Christ. We're so thankful for your presence here in this house and in this place. You are here. Where two or more gather in your name, there you are, speaking to hearts, drawing us close to you, God, asking for more. Lord, we give it to you. Lord, we relent. We give up. We ask, God, that your Spirit would fill us fresh and new. God, that you would strengthen us. And your Holy Spirit would just flow through us right now. We would just know and our knower, God, that you are in control of all the things that matter. Hallelujah. You're directing our path, thick and thin, testings. Lord, I pray for strength in the midst of the test, that we pass the test, and that you'd be pleased to us, Lord. Pleased in a way, God, that, Lord, would just make you joyful. Hallelujah. We're thankful to be your children and that you've called us. And we're answering the call. We want to serve you and worship you. Hallelujah. You are so worthy. We honor you. Thank you for this day that you created, oh God. And all the things you're doing. Take away heaviness of hearts tonight, today, this morning. God, take away that heaviness right now. But those that are walking with a heavy heart, Lord, and have situations that seem to be no way out, God, I pray that you bring peace amidst the difficult area that only you can do. Peace that passes all understanding. God, rest on us, Lord. Rest on us. God, fall fresh on us. Hallelujah. We wait for you, God. Do the work. We can't do it in and of ourselves. Help us to be strong to follow you, God. Feels good to be in the house of the Lord, don't it? What's it? How many worship guys you got here? Is all of my worship team here? We missed it. Huh? Why don't you guys come up? Let's sing one song and then we'll quit. Appropriate for what we just did, okay? Let's all sing it and worship the Lord in it, okay? Because we got to believe that He can do all things, amen? So what you receive today in church, you can leave knowing that God's with you. Hallelujah. even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Your perfect love is casting out fear. Even when I'm caught in the middle of the storms of this life, I won't turn back, I know you are near, and I will fear no evil, for my God is with me. And if my God is with me, whom then shall I fear? Whom then shall I fear? Oh no, never let go, through the calm and through the storm. Oh no, never let go, every high and every low. Oh no, never let go, Lord, you never let go of me. Oh, I can see the light that is coming for the heart that holds on. A glorious light beyond all compare. And there will be an end to the troubles, but until that day comes, we'll live to know you're here on the earth. And I will fear no evil, for my God is with me. And if my God is with me, whom then shall I fear? Whom then shall I fear? Oh no, never let go, through the calm and through the storm. Oh no, never let go, every high and every low. Oh no, never let go, Lord, you never let go of me. Well, I can see the light that is coming for the heart that holds on, and there will be an end to these troubles, but until that day comes, still I will praise you, still I will praise you, Lord. I can see the light that is coming for the heart that holds on, and there will be an end to these troubles, but until that day comes, still I will praise you, still I will praise you, Lord. I will praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. God, we praise you today. We thank you, God, for your faithfulness, and that you're going to walk through us with the storm, through the storm, and God, that you're going to guide us every step of the way. We love you. Thank you, God. Go with us today, I pray. And Lord, that we would be conscious of our relationship with you as we go. In Jesus' name, amen.